It's football time.
Here we go, D!
Time to get ready for the weekend.
He-Man!
This is Jake and TD with Jake Lyman and ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter Teron Davenport.
Presented by Soul Restaurant Nashville.
Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Usually Friday evenings. We're with you on a Thursday. Preds playing tomorrow, so we bump a day back, getting you set for your football weekend. And as always, we are presented by Soul Nashville. Lots to get to on the show today. Titans making some moves a couple of weeks before the trade deadline, as they are now 1-5 to start the season. We'll get into all the moves and get you ready for Titans and Lions coming up from Detroit on Sunday. TD, been a little while here since we hopped on the mics. You went to New York last week. How was that?
It was
good,
awesome.
Good trip?
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, minus the seeing the team take the L. But yeah, it was a good trip. Always good to get back to Queens, Jackson Heights, man. I like to be there. And just the city is great. It's great. I love New York. Obviously, lived in Philly more, yeah. But I mean, still got my love for the city.
Are you going to be rooting for the Yankees in the
World
Series?
Listen, baseball is over. I'm looking at free agency. You know, if you look right here, right, what you'll see right here, well, what's it say? Mets farm system prospect
rate. There you go.
Rate.
Yeah.
You're on to 2025.
All in on 2025. The Yankees and Dodgers won't be playing starting tomorrow night. I love to hear it. I'm the same way with my Tigers eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on. Maybe Tigers and Mets 2025 World Series.
I thought of you. I was in the MLB shop, the store right there in the city, and it was a clearance rack, but it said Detroit Tigers 2024 postseason. I mean, look, my Mets postseason gear is going to join that, but I thought of you when I saw that.
I wonder if they sent those in because the Tigers could have been in New York if they had won Game 5. They would have gone to New York for the ALCS.
Yeah.
I wonder if they sent a bunch of Tigers stuff in just in case and then, you know.
You never know, but I mean, it's the MLB store, so
that's
they had
true.
A bunch of stuff.
They probably had it, for
yeah,
every team.
It was cool.
Well, glad to hear you had a good trip. Titans did not have a good trip up to New York last weekend as they got out to an early lead, 10-0, and then the Bills scored the remainder of the points in that game, 34-10 blowout victory. Titans fall to 1-5. We spent a lot of time talking about actual football last week. I don't think we're going to talk a lot about the actual game this week because the real headlines have been made on the trade market so far this week. Titans making two moves on Wednesday, trading DeAndre Hopkins to the Kansas City Chiefs, much to the dismay of the rest of the AFC, getting back a conditional fifth-round pick. That turns into a fourth if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl. DeAndre Hopkins plays 60% of the remaining snaps this year. And then later on, Ernest Jones, he is sent over to Seattle, and the Titans get back Jerome Baker, another linebacker, and a fourth-round pick,
mm-hmm.
Which, TD, you make these moves. It makes sense. These are two guys who are on expiring deals, and you can get something for them. Does it feel like the Titans, in essence, waved the white flag on 2024 yesterday by starting to sell off some of their veteran pieces?
You know, initially looking at it, you would think that, right? But if you take a closer look, Hopkins, he played 45% of the snaps for the Titans this season. And he checked out, man. Like, that's really the bottom. He checked out. And sometimes that happens, right? I understand that he's a veteran player. He is not going to be here next year. It's a move that you probably needed to make. And that's not to say that he had a negative impact on his teammates, because he did not. You heard J.C. Latham, how glowingly he spoke of him as far as the leadership aspect. Jaquan Jackson spoke at length about what he learned, just how to be a professional from DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't want it to sound like I'm bashing him, but the facts are the facts. You're towards the end. You want to go to greener pastures. I get it. So I don't think that was a throwing in the flag. The Ernest Jones, the fourth one, that's confusing. But remember, they liked Jerome Baker anyway.
Right.
He was the guy they had in the building before they even thought about trading for Ernest Jones. So that's that. And the bigger picture is stocking draft picks.
Yep.
This team, this organization, Rand Carthon, that's what they want to do, is take more swings at the at the plate.
And you had already sent away your third-round pick next year in the L'Jarius Sneed trade, so needed to recoup some of those swings, those lottery tickets that the Titans will want in April of 2025. The Ernest Jones one, I floated this. One of the shows I was filling in for Jared, I floated his name as an idea of, could they just flip him? Like, and you haven't signed him to a long-term deal yet, which if they wanted to do that, I would totally get it. He's only 24 years old, Ernest Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't have been out of the question for them to sign him long-term. But if you get him in the building, it didn't feel like he was going to be around beyond this year. You just turned a guy that you got for a late-round pick swap next year into a fourth-round pick this year and another linebacker. It felt like a deal that was too good for Rand Carthon to pass up on.
Yeah, and not only that, he could hit the ground running. I mean, that poor man, he said he just wanted to go to sleep. That's what he said at his locker. He could hit the ground running because this scheme is so similar.
Right.
He talked about a little bit of a difference in terminology, but overall it's the same. And that's actually coincidentally what Ernest Jones said when he was at the podium in Seattle. You know, he said that that's going to allow him to play soon. So that's a plus also.
Right. Having Denard Wilson and Mike McDonald coming from the same defense, basically. They were both in Baltimore and similar scheme. They don't have to really make too many adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two guys who have already been dealt. TD, anybody else that you feel like is on the market? Because Brian Callahan did say yesterday that you should expect there to be some turmoil on our roster over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It feels like D-Hop was the big name where everybody said, if the Titans are sellers at the deadline, he's going to be gone. That domino has fallen. Any other ones that you're keeping an eye on over the next 2 weeks before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think when Callahan said expect movement on the roster, I think he was talking about the pending moves, right? Because at the time, it was all like he couldn't really comment on it. But he was like, yeah, I mean, you could expect some movement. So I think it was like foreshadowing, hey, look, these deals are going to become official soon. I don't know that they do anything outside of that, though. They really don't have – I mean, Jeffrey Simmons, we've already established that they're not going to trade him. Harold Landry is interesting. They don't really have much as far as, like, you know,
there's
that
no
team
premier
is going to
piece.
Say, hey, we need that, you know. So I would doubt movement.
Landry is the one that is the most interesting to me. Jeffrey Simmons, I think it would take a king's ransom. Like, yes, is there a scenario where X team calls up Rand Carthon and says, we'll give you a first and a third for Jeffrey Simmons? I think the Titans would consider that. Mm-hmm. I think Harold Landry is the one where there might be some steam on a deal. I know the Lions are the team that everybody has kind of pointed to. And a deal with the Lions obviously wouldn't happen until after they play the Lions this week.
Right.
You're not going to trade away your best pass rusher and then have to play him on Sunday.
Right.
But I don't know if I see it. I feel like if you trade away Harold Landry, you're putting yourself in a major hole at the edge rusher spot for next season because you already are pretty thin on the outside there on the defensive line.
And here's the thing. End of the day, the objective is to get better, right? And I think you look at Jones, you look at Hopkins, these are, as you pointed out, expiring deals. They're going to be gone unless you bring him back, right? You know, in
right,
Jones
unless you case. Have an extension that you feel right. like is going to get
so
done.
So when you look at that, trading Harold Landry doesn't make sense because this is a team that they're trying to plug holes in their roster, and you don't create another hole because you draft a guy hoping that he could be productive like Harold Landry is.
Yes.
So it doesn't make sense.
It's like the A.J. Brown trade of like, oh, we're going to trade A.J. Brown and then take Treylon Burks right after, hoping he's A.J. Brown. It's like, well, you have A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, do you hope you get a cheaper, younger version of A.J. Brown? Sure, but that's never going to be the case, at least most of the time when you take a draft pick. I'm with you. I think the one name that I would look at, maybe Quandre Diggs being on a one-year deal, could be a guy that gets moved. But how much value is there in Quandre Diggs, an older safety?
He was sitting on the market in August.
Yeah, and
you know, so
you would find it. I would find it hard to imagine that a team would be willing to give up more than maybe a sixth for Quandre Diggs, and that would be a team that you probably feels like they're one piece away, or maybe an injury happens. They need somebody at safety. I think he's the one guy that I look at, but outside of that, you're right. The Titans don't have a ton of guys that teams are looking at and saying, that's the missing piece for us to make a Super Bowl run. And the Titans, of the pieces that may be talented enough to be that guy. The Titans aren't willing to give up those good players when they're trying to build around them moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just not the move right now.
So already two moves down for the Titans. Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot more around the corner, but still about 10 days to go until the trade deadline comes up on November 5th. So we will see if maybe Rand Carthon gets a deal across his table that he can't pass up. But the Titans seemingly have made the moves that they're going to make. They've picked up a couple of draft picks, and now they head into the Lions game. Looking forward to seeing what this team looks like without DeAndre Hopkins on the outside and without Ernest Jones on the defense. We will take a break. We'll continue to talk about what these trades mean for this team moving forward as they're 1-5 and hoping to maybe get a little bit of a bump heading into this game against the Lions. We'll continue talking about it next here on Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
With this expected movement that you mentioned, how do you present it to guys like Quandre Diggs or Tyler Boyd on one-year deals, you know, who are playing for another contract?
There's two things that always happen in the NFL. I've always believed, and you're always building, you're always trying to win the day and win right now. And there's always a portion of your football operation that looks towards what's next and what's to come. And you try to balance those things as best you can. At the end of the day, coaches coach, players play, and that's our job. My job is to coach the football team and get ready to play the Detroit Lions. The players' job is to do everything they can to get ready to go play that game and try to go win it. And that's where our focus is. That's where it always is. And then there's always these moments where you get an interjection of something that is with an eye towards what's next. And that sometimes can be hard to deal with. There's a human element in all of this that goes to the players in the current locker room, that goes to the players that are involved in the transactions. There's a human element to it that can be challenging and can be difficult for those involved. And I don't dismiss that. That's a real thing. And but our job is ultimately, you know, we all sign contracts to play football and coach football, and that's what we're going to do.
That was Brian Callahan answering TD's question, asking about how you kind of sell this to some of those older guys on one-year deals and how to keep them in it as you continue to try and win games down the stretch here in this 2024 season. Jake and TD on this Thursday evening, a day ahead, as the Predators play tomorrow. We'll be back in our usual Friday slot next week from 6 to 7 p.m. Jake Lyman, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport with you. Already have gone through the trades that have already happened, talked about some other candidates who could be out there. But TD, it's a good question that you asked Brian Callahan. There is a ripple effect, I guess you could say, after these trades of how you keep the locker room from staying engaged and trying to win football games when it could easily be seen as you waving the white flag on the season by trading away some of those veteran pieces.
Yeah, it could easily be seen that way. The good thing is these guys are professionals. And Jaquan Jackson made an awesome point thinking about this, right? Because I remember talking to him about the movement, right? And he said, I seen it in college with NIL.
Right.
So now the guys coming into the league are exposed to the business side of the sport a lot earlier, and they have an understanding. So that allows that whole previous thought of like, hey, the guy actually got traded. No, it's, I know anybody could get traded at any point in time.
That's a really good point that I hadn't thought about before.
Me either.
These younger guys, they're used to roster movement like this and it being player-based. Not saying, like, DeAndre Hopkins, I don't think, requested a trade, but you could see that he wanted to be somewhere where he could go compete for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in the transfer portal all the time. These guys, whether it's for more money or more playing time or going to a bigger program, these guys see this roster movement all the time. That's a really good point from Jaquan Jackson and a mature point from a young guy that, like, hey, this is part of football, and that's at the college level and at the NFL level.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Everything is trickling down, even to high school. You know, I have a good friend who has his own agency, and he's talking to me all the time about how, like, you know, player X has a valuation of this, and his parents are talking to this school, and they're telling him he's worth this much, and I'm trying to tell them, hey, no, tell him no, because your valuation is this. We're talking about high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
15, 16-year-old kids.
It's crazy how the business has filtered down. But, hey, I'm all for everybody being able to benefit from the popularity of the sport.
Looking at this week against the Lions, I mean, the Titans are double-digit underdogs. And I think a lot of people would look at what happened this week and say they're losing two key pieces, one on each side of the ball. This could get ugly. I'm wondering if you see a little bump from these players, because you see it with interim coaches. Head coach gets fired, interim coach comes in, they play way better the next week. I wonder if trading away some pieces has a similar effect of all of these guys maybe being like, oh, wow, we haven't played well enough. They've traded away some of these guys. We need to step it up. I'm wondering if maybe we see a little bump against the Lions. Not saying they're going to go out and win the game, but I think maybe you see a little more focused, a little bit more consistency from this Titans team on Sunday.
The thing that's cool about professional athletes is they're always looking for something to motivate them. I mean, I remember a couple years ago before the Packers game talking to Derrick Henry, and he's like, you know what? Back when I was in high school, people told me I would be a defensive end and I would never be a running back. I did a whole story about it, you know, and this is Derrick Henry, one of the best to ever run the football, saying that. Thinking back to high school. Now, mind you, into his career already, like, and established. Yeah. These guys always look for ways to find motivation, so it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, it's everybody always points back to The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, and I took that personally. I feel like that is the mindset of a lot of professional athletes, is when you get to the highest level of your sport, it can be hard to find that internal motivation.
Right.
So you've got to kind of manufacture it a little bit, and if somebody says something or some sort of quote, like the funniest one is the Georgia team that won their second straight national championship, and they're going up to the reporters.
Nobody believed in us.
They said we were going to go 7-5. Like, you've won 20 straight regular season games and just won a back-to-back national championship. No one was saying that.
Yeah.
So you have to find ways to motivate yourself, and I'm wondering if maybe this will be something that gets the guys going a little bit. You mentioned Derrick Henry, quickly to go off on a tangent. I mean, that dude, he might break Eric Dickerson's record this year.
21.7 miles an hour.
I can't believe it, because I've said it on this show before. I was one of the people who was saying that it was time to move on. I did not want Derrick Henry back on this team. And it was because behind that offensive line, he didn't look like the old Derrick Henry. Now that we see him in a functional offense with an MVP candidate to his left or right, wherever he's standing, he looks like the old Derrick Henry again, and I will eat crow and say I was wrong. I would love for Derrick Henry to still be on this football team because, man, yes, in 17 games, if it ends up happening, but he's already on pace for 2,100 yards, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 2,100.
He's going to get over 1,000 yards.
2,105.
Yeah.
Man. This dude is just rolling.
And he's ridiculous.
That's what happens, right, when you have a solid O-line, when you have a defense that has to account for the quarterback running the ball. Like, everything, it's the perfect storm for Derrick Henry. And he's still the same guy, right? 81-yard scamper. He hated getting caught, you know, so that's probably where there's a difference. But having a mediocre game, next thing you know, 81 yards, and he's got a 160-something.
I know.
It's Derrick Henry.
There were Titans fans I know who are taking victory laps. I may have even tweeted something out after Derrick Henry had like 35 yards or something in that opener against the Chiefs, and Tony Pollard looked great in the opener against the Bears, and everybody was saying, oh, the Titans made the right choice. About 2 months later, it doesn't look so good. But props to Derrick Henry. I'm rooting for him. Although I may not be rooting for the Ravens, I'm rooting for Derrick Henry. It would be cool to say that he is the first he would be the first guy to have 2,000 yards with two different teams, I believe.
He would be the first guy to have 2,000 yards twice, period.
No, you're right. You are right. Nobody's ever done it. So
he's different, man.
He is. Derrick Henry, he has, you know, barring any injury or anything, hopefully not, he will be a Hall of Famer, you would assume. So yeah. Props to Derrick Henry. Titans getting ready for this Lions game. It looks like we're going to see Mason Rudolph for the second straight week. I know I've been following your tweets out of practice, TD. Will Levis has been out there, but not really throwing the football. So expectation is that we're going to see Mason Rudolph for the second straight game. And hopefully hopefully we see a little bit more from Mason Rudolph this week. I mean, he looked fine at times in that game against the Bills. I mean, nothing spectacular. He got him out to the 10-0 lead. But I think you'd like to see a little more consistency from Mason Rudolph against a good Lions defense.
Yeah, you need to see more consistency. And it's funny because that's something that Nick Holtz touched on, being more consistent. Because I asked him about – because it seems like every game, like if you go back and look at it, there's a few plays, more than a few, where it's like, why didn't you go there?
Yeah.
So-and-so is wide open. So that is something that has to happen more consistently. When you look at Mason Rudolph, just staying on schedule. That's the big thing. And they got to get him that protection and allow him to, you know, take advantage of those opportunities. But when they're there, he has to do it. Because, like, the line hasn't been terrible lately.
No. They've given both Levis and Rudolph chances to throw the football. I mean, that Colts game, we mentioned it was the first time in, what, 3 years that they haven't allowed a sack in a game. So the offensive line has been giving them chances. It's just a matter of being able to move the football down the field. Looks like Levis slated to come back the week after against the Patriots.
Yeah, it looks like the Patriots. He spoke today, and he said that not throwing has been good for him, just resting the shoulder. I thought it was pretty cool. One of the things that he mentioned was he doesn't know too many guys that have the same injury to their throwing shoulder.
That's true.
So, like, there's not really someone that I could talk to try to see how they work through it.
See what made sense for them, and I guess Will Levis trying to work his way back after missing most of the Dolphins game, came back for the Colts, and now this will be the second straight week that he's been on the sideline. We're going to talk a little bit about Will Levis when we come back. Talk about whether there's any chance in the second half of the season for him to work his way back into the good graces of Titans fans and the front office as they work to choose who's going to be the quarterback in 2025. We'll talk to Will Levis coming up next. Jake and TD here on this Thursday evening, presented by Soul Nashville on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Special Thursday edition moving up with the Preds playing tomorrow night right here on The Game. We are presented by Soul Nashville. Talking Titans, getting you ready for the football weekend. Should be a fun weekend. Maybe the Titans game won't go so well. I mean, Lions have been playing some good football. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But TD, Texas and Vanderbilt coming here to Nashville. We talked last week that game day might be in town. Didn't work out. They're going to Bloomington, Indiana, I think.
Yeah.
But still should be a fun weekend, seeing if Diego Pavia can maybe slay Goliath the second time in a month.
Diego Pavia, a.k.a. Juan L. Way. George Foster on X said that, and I can't. Every time somebody
that's
says his
so
name,
funny.
That's all I think of, man. It was so funny. But that dude he's a baller.
He is.
A baller. And he's helped make Vanderbilt relevant. Did they get this win? I doubt it. But, hey, it's a great opportunity to potentially shock the world twice.
They're going to have to do the exact same thing they did against Alabama, shorten that game. I mean, Alabama only ran 40-something plays in that game. It felt like every time that Vanderbilt got into third down, Pavia made some sort of play to get them a conversion and get a new set of downs. So going to have to play the same way this week, but should be fun over at First Bank. Not sure if we're going to see Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning, but whoever it is.
It's tough getting them off a loss. That's the...
Right.
That's the big,
you got Alabama kind of sitting high on their laurels after beating Georgia the week before. They came in, Vandy punched him in the mouth with that long touchdown drive and the pick six, and Bama could never quite dig themselves out of the hole. Texas is going to come in locked in, coming off that loss against Georgia last week.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully the Commodores can keep it close and give themselves a chance for another upset. Commodores ranked 25th in the nation coming into this one against the Longhorns.
It's been a long time.
I know. I'll be over there at the game on Saturday, so we'll see. I think they'll be guarding those goalposts a little bit tighter this year if they do win it. But
I'm going to tell somebody if they do, man, break me off a nice
break
chunk
me off
of that.
A piece.
I'm putting that thing on eBay.
I know that Vandy has probably made their good amount of money making that fine back by selling off pieces of that goalpost.
Exactly.
That's on Saturday. Titans are in Detroit on Sunday. Back-to-back road games against really good teams, and we'll talk about the Lions a little bit in our final segment coming up. But I want to talk about Will Levis, and he's not going to play this week, but you're trading off one of his best targets, his safety blanket from last year. does it feel like the Titans kind of have their answer with Will Levis? Even though we're only six games into the year, it kind of feels like by trading away DeAndre Hopkins, you're kind of saying we've seen enough.
You would think, but Brian Callahan, he was asked about that, and he said, hey, I mean, it's part of the business. You got to find other guys to throw to. He acknowledged that Hopkins was a big part of his growth, and end of the day, like, that's football. You're going to lose guys, right? Trevor Lawrence lost Calvin Ridley last year. You got to move on. You know what I mean? Josh Allen lost Stephon right. Diggs. You got to move on. And I'm not saying those situations are the same, but I'm just using those as opportunities to point out that guys lose their receivers. I don't think that they've necessarily given up on Will Levis yet. I think they're really going to exhaust it and get as thorough evaluation as possible. And you know what? Honestly, it's not a bad thing to do because, like, if you give him every shot to grab it and he doesn't, and you lose, guess what? You're in a good position to get his replacement.
You're going
to
have no regrets moving on from him and picking a quarterback high next year. And that's what I was saying over the summer. I know we talked about it a little bit on some of the shows that I thought the worst case scenario for the Titans this year was being average and Will Levis being average and not being able to get a firm grasp on, is this the guy? What direction are we moving in as a team? Being bad isn't the worst thing in the world, and I know no one wants to root for their team to lose, and I'm still not there when I'm sitting down watching the game hoping the Titans lose, but at least when they lose, you're like, at least we're improving the draft stock at this point. I think that, obviously, yes, the best-case scenario was Will Levis comes out, proves that he's the guy, and you win 9, 10, 11 games. That's not going to happen at this point. I would rather them go with Will Levis and have him sink or swim than throw Mason Rudolph in there and hope you can win 4 or 5 more games, because that's probably the ceiling for Mason Rudolph. You don't know what the ceiling or the floor is for Will Levis. It goes as high and as low as you can possibly imagine.
And that's the crazy part of it. It's like, you know, you bring Rudolph in there and you're basically on cruise control. Everything has to be right.
Right.
You bring Levis in and say, okay, you got the chance for a tremendous play, but you also got the chance for a bomb to get dropped on your head. You know, so it's tough to balance those things out.
The good news for Will Levis is that the schedule looks a lot simpler down the stretch. There are some tough games in there, and obviously some of the games that you thought were going to be easier aren't looking like that. Like, preseason, you thought you were going to get probably J.J. McCarthy by the time you played the Vikings, mm-hmm. and I don't know, did anyone think the Vikings were going to be as good as they've been? Probably not.
That defense is crazy. Woo.
I know, Brian
Flores.
You
talk about attacking? Lord have mercy.
Some of the things that he does where he'll bring like 8 guys to the line of scrimmage and then just drop into Tampa 2, and it's like, how do you read that as a young quarterback? Like, what are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
So the Vikings are obviously a much bigger threat than I think preseason. You looked at the schedule and were like, Vikings, that could be a win.
Yeah.
The Commanders, that's another one that I think preseason, you're looking at, hey, we're going to get a rookie quarterback. That's an opportunity for us to go get a win.
What you ask for.
I don't know if we want that rookie quarterback.
Right. That's some action you may not be looking to take on, but hey, we'll see what happens. I think you look at that team, right? This is a good example of how you build around a quarterback quickly and you convert things. And Jaden Daniels, he's ready. Like, he came into the league ready.
And talking about the Commanders, Jared Stillman put out a tweet this week kind of comparing the Commanders and the Titans, because yes, if you just surface level look at the first round picks from 2020 to 2022, Chase Young hasn't been, for being the second overall pick, he was probably a bust. He had his moments, but he was not what everyone hoped he would be. Jamin Davis just got cut this week. Jahan Dotson has been traded to Philadelphia. Titans kind of in the same boat with Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, Treylon Burks. But that doesn't tell the whole story that not only did the Titans miss on the 3 first-round picks, they missed on almost every pick in those 3 drafts, with the exception of Roger McCreary. The Commanders got better players down in that draft, even though their first-round pick didn't live up to the hype.
Nuance is good, right?
Yeah. You can't just look at one data point and say, why is this team good and this team bad when they all missed on their first round picks? Like, there's other things that have gone on in that organization, especially finding a good quarterback.
Bingo. A good quarterback is a great makeup for the other things that have gone wrong on your roster. Look at the Chiefs. They got not really much to be proud of in the receiving core, but they're 6-0.
Yep. We talked about it preseason. If you swapped Will Levis and Patrick Mahomes before the season, would the Titans be a Super Bowl contender? The answer is yes.
Absolutely.
I think the Titans roster is equal to, if not better than, the Chiefs around the quarterback, but you've got the best quarterback in the league versus Will Levis, who's
still finding his way.
Yeah, you're going to be a lot better because the quarterback masks the deficiencies you have on your team when you have a guy who can just take over a game like that. Mm-hmm.
That's it, man. That's it.
And that's what the Titans will be searching for. Is it Will Levis? I think most people would say no at this point. Most people are probably out on Will Levis, but he's going to get his chances. Comes back week 9 against the Patriots, and, you know, you never know what's going to happen down the stretch. Yeah. I think you kind of expect what's going to happen, but the Titans, you would think, would be either be in a position where they feel good about Levis or they feel good about drafting Levis's replacement.
Shedeur Sanders.
Coming up in April. Shedeur Sanders, he's looked good. I mean,
let me say this, right? Let's say they get the first pick and Shedeur Sanders is the guy that they're looking at. Will Deion allow that to happen?
That's the big question.
If he doesn't, you know what you do? Pull off an Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers situation,
right,
and that could really launch him forward. But we'll see.
Right. There would be a lot that would go into that. And I think the question for Deion, yes, is Nashville the market he would want to go to?
That's
maybe not. But there's also the elements of, in Nashville, you're not going to be as heavily scrutinized as you would if you were playing in Dallas or New York. And you're the biggest show in town. Like, Shedeur Sanders, if, let's say, the Giants drafted him, well, you got to compete with the Knicks up there and the Yankees and the Mets. In Nashville, you're the big man on campus if you come here. So I don't know. That's up to the Sanders family, the primetime family, to figure that out.
Yep.
And some other good options as well. I know Cam Ward's looked good at Miami.
Sure.
You know, the other quarterbacks have all kind of had their ups and downs, whether Quinn Ewers, he's been hurt, and Jalen Milroe had a great game against Georgia, struggled since. Carson Beck, kind of the same story.
Yeah, keep me out on both of those.
So I don't
know.
And if you don't like the quarterbacks, the first overall pick gives you the option to trade back, gather some other draft capital. You could take a tackle. You could take a wide receiver. You could take a pass rusher and maybe still get a first-round pick next year to go get your quarterback.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see. There's a long way to go to figure out where the Titans will be drafting and what they'll do with that pick. But Will Levis not going to have one of his favorite weapons the rest of the year as he tries to prove that he's the guy. Jake and TD here on this Thursday evening, moved up a day because of the Predators. Got one segment left. We will actually talk about the football game happening over at Ford Field in Detroit on Sunday. Coming up next, Titans and Lions. We'll preview it here on Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake and TD back for one final segment here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We are presented by Soul Nashville. Taking you into your football weekend, Rams and Vikings coming up on Prime Video, Thursday Night Football later on tonight. Preds playing tomorrow. Then we got a full slate of Saturday and Sunday college football and the NFL. Titans are on the road for the second straight week. They are taking on the Detroit Lions, one of the NFC Super Bowl contenders. Not going to be easy for the Titans to go up to the Motor City and get a win, but they'll do their best trying to snap a two-game losing streak. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you. TD, initial thoughts when you look at this matchup with the Lions. They have been playing some really good football over the last couple of weeks, and even though no Aiden Hutchinson, done for the year, but they have plenty of talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Initial thoughts are yikes. I think that's the best way to look at it if you're a Titans fan. And it's something that it happens, right? When you have one team who built things up and done it, has done everything right over a longer period of time, and now they're a Super Bowl contender. You look at the defense. I mean, a young player, Brian Branch. Watch the strong safety, Brian Branch. He's an outstanding player. I talked to Eric Woodyard, the ESPN NFL Nation Lions reporter, about him, and he's got moved from nickel to the safety, and he just really has just come into his own. So you have that. I think when you look at this team, they're very well coached, they're motivated, and everything is in the right place for them. So that's what I think of when I watch them. Now, we could get into the little scheme stuff offensively if you want, but that's my initial thought for the Detroit Lions.
Well, looking at that defense, defense and offense, that 2023 draft kind of got laughed at on draft night when they picked a running back and a linebacker in the first round with Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell. Then they got Brian Branch in the second round. Those three guys have all turned out to be studs, and that's kind of been the reason that the Lions have ascended from playoff team to Super Bowl contender this year. Let's talk a little bit about their offensive scheme. I know you've got Whiteboard Wednesday yesterday. This is an offense that has weapons pretty much everywhere you turn.
Yeah.
Won't have Jameson Williams,
right,
as he's suspended.
Yeah. That caused the line to shift a little bit, too.
Yes, it moved about a point when that suspension came down.
Point and a half, right, from 12 and a half to like 11 or so.
But they've still got Amon-Ra St. Brown,
mm-hmm.
Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, our old friend Khalif Raymond, I believe,
Khalif
is still
Raymond,
up there.
That's who's taking over the vertical threat role. Did you see what he did to Stephon Gilmore?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't see this clip.
Google it.
Okay.
Google it. Man, you talk about putting somebody in the blender. You would have thought that somebody just like turned the power off because he just fell. It was bad, man. But you got Khalif Raymond doing the vertical part of it. So they're legit.
I mean, as Titans fans, we know Khalif Raymond. He's got maybe there are a lot of good moments from that 2019 run. I think that was the one where I kind of felt like it was legit.
He caught that play action and post route.
They got the fourth down stop.
Yeah.
First play action, Khalif Raymond over the top, beating Marlon Humphrey.
Yep.
That was the moment where I was like, oh, this is real. Like,
it's real.
They might actually go to the AFC Championship
game. It's going down. Yeah.
Khalif Raymond may be kind of a one-trick pony of being the vertical guy, and he can stretch the field, but that's something a team needs, and it opens things up for those other options, St. Brown, Laporta, and Gibbs, who now are going against the Titans defense, probably without their best coverage linebacker, with Ernest Jones being traded.
Yeah, Baker's a pretty solid, when healthy, he's a solid cover guy, but I think when you look at this, right, it's all about deception, and you look at the motions, you look at the things that they do, you have that, but then you also have just the way they clear out space, and they try to get Amon-Ra St. Brown opportunities to catch passes underneath. That's where Jameson Williams, like, not having him could hurt some because obviously he's a bigger threat than Khalif Raymond. But I think you have both of those tight ends, and it's all about showing run. Like, they're a team. They want to play action. They use – I don't know the percentage, but I would venture to say that their play action is higher than a lot of other teams. Jared Goff might be the best play action passer in the league, right? And that's something – you look at this offense. If I'm Brian Callahan, like, I would work to emulate what they're doing because Will Levis could be a good play-action passer, but that Sam Laporta, is a guy that they try to clear stuff out and get him opportunities as well. Don't sleep on David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs as a tandem. And Jahmyr Gibbs catching the football out of the backfield. Like, that's a really good group. Their offensive line is so good, too.
This is an example of a Lions team. Like, Jared Goff is a good quarterback. This is very similar to what the Titans look like 2019 through 2021, where, Ryan Tannehill, is he going to go out and win you games? Maybe not all by himself, but when you surround him with a good offensive line and enough weapons, he can be the point guard out there distributing. He had a perfect game earlier this year where he did not throw an incomplete pass. And
to accentuate what he does.
Right. And that's Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator. I think him not going and becoming a head coach last year has been huge for this team because they were able to carry over so much from last year where they were, I mean, they were a 21-point lead away from going to the Super Bowl and ended up blowing it, but they've been able to have so much continuity where really not much has changed on that offense. I think they returned almost their entire offensive
Pretty
line,
much.
All their
yeah.
weapons, and Jared Goff along with their offensive coordinator. they've been able to hit the ground running.
And good on him for recognizing that he's not, he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. You don't force stuff. And that's what he did. He didn't force it. He let it, you know, the opportunity pass. And he's still in a great place. So you're right. The continuity there is a really good thing. This Lions team, they're going to be good for a while. They are going to be good for a while.
Yep, yep. And the Titans have their hands full trying to get a win. Could fall to 1-6. And then you might have a battle of one-win teams coming up in Nashville in about a week or so, taking on the Patriots.
Yikes.
With the Titans offense and Mason Rudolph, how does this unit move the ball against this Lions defense? Especially like DeAndre Hopkins, you mentioned, he's only played 40-something percent of snaps, 45%, I believe you said. But still a different look without him out there. No Treylon Burks as well. Do we see more Jaquan Jackson this week in the offense? And I think maybe Nick Westbrook-Ikhina ends up taking a larger share of the snaps as well.
Well, here's the thing that's kind of floating under the radar. Calvin Ridley hasn't practiced at all this week.
Oh, right.
It showed up. Yesterday was NIR, like not injury related. Today is showing up foot. So we'll see. Hopefully for their sake he's out there. If not, then, you know, it's really going to be time to just, you know, pray about this game. But, look, when you look at this offense, it's just, like we said earlier, everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
You cannot have, you know, a negative two-yard play on first down because now you're chasing. And they're just not built to chase yards. That's the bottom line. So I don't know what they need to do. I would probably go into more 12 personnel, you know, and run the ball, play action off of it. That's about it.
Yeah, I guess your wide receiver group, if Calvin Ridley doesn't play, becomes Tyler Boyd, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Jaquan Jackson, and then practice squad elevation, Bryce Oliver, Mason Kinsey. Which I wouldn't mind seeing a little more of Bryce Oliver. He looked good in the preseason. Yeah. I wouldn't mind down the stretch seeing some of these young guys, but man, you really put Mason Rudolph in a really tough spot if that's the group that he has to throw the football to on Sunday.
Well, I tell you what. No wonder locker room was almost done. We talking about 40 minutes later. Mason Rudolph still on the field. He and Trevor Siemian. I get it, man. You want to maximize your opportunities.
Yeah.
But, dang, man, give me something to make this meal with. Like, you got me in bad situation right now.
You hate to say it, but this one could be one that is over before halftime on Sunday. On the road, this Lions team's looked as good as anybody. I mean, 2 weeks ago, what they did the Cowboys was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just ran them out of their own building.
Coming off a win over the previously undefeated
Minnesota
Vikings.
So, you never know. It's the NFL. Like, both teams are paid to be there.
Yeah.
These are all professionals. We have seen bigger upsets than this, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be a fun one for the Titans on Sunday.
One more thing. Snead ain't practiced this week.
I was going to bring that up, that you're playing this game not only without Ernest Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Calvin Ridley, but Amon-Ra St. Brown. And as good as Jarvis Brownlee Jr. has played, that's not a matchup that I'm too pleased with.
Quietly, Brownlee Jr. has had two bad plays that had some horrible consequences. Back to back.
Which ones?
So you look at the Josh Downs one, right?
I remember that one.
He came off his coverage there.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at the Keon Coleman one. He kind of got a little greedy. Actually, Denard Wilson explained it really well. If you guys get a chance, listen to the press conference. It was the last question I asked him about that, and he explained it really well. So look, it's a rookie mistake, as Wilson said. It's something that in the big picture of things you're cool with because you're going to learn from it and be a better player later. And I think Brownlee is going to be that.
And he's flashed. He has made some plays for sure in these first two games when he's been thrust into a starting role. But there's going to be those little growing pains. And I'm sure that if you're matched up with Amon-Ra St. Brown, those might be a little more accentuated against an elite receiver like that. Oof. So we will see on Sunday. I hate we're not selling this game very much, but
hey, look, you gotta tell it like it is, man.
Yeah, it's
right,
we can't
wrong,
sugarcoat it here.
Win, lose, or draw, like, you gotta speak the truth, man.
Well, should be a fun one tonight between the Vikings and Rams. Maybe Cooper Kupp's last game in a Rams uniform. So we'll see what happens there. Titans and Lions coming up Sunday, noon game in Detroit before they return home to face the Patriots next week. TD, another fun show.
Absolutely.
We will. We'll be back in our normal time slot next week, 6 to 7 on Friday. And as always, we are presented by Soul Nashville. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you next week. Paul Feinbaum's up next here on 102.5 and 106.3.